So this is where it all begins, with the white piece of paper. I began my journey in 1980. I felt like I had just moved to San Francisco, and I felt like there was a push inside of me that I felt if I didn't meet it, I was going to burst. It was pushing and pushing, and I just felt like, what do I do with this? I have to express it, but I don't know how. I have never done anything. So I got this San Francisco publishing called The Common Ground and decided to just go through things, and conga drumming and belly dancing. And this form of painting was fortunately at the beginning. It was called the Institute for Art and Living. And so I decided to sign up for a class. I'd never drawn before or painted, and just little sketches and things on my own. And I showed up and thought, okay. And 2 days before my painting started, I was pregnant. So it was a very creative moment in my life. And so we're always coming back to this white piece of paper. I always feel, even after all these years, that I'm a beginner, and I have no idea what's going to come out of this paper. So I included, some of you have seen it, my very first painting. It was kind of strange. All the paints were laid out just like they are downstairs. Tried a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but I had no idea what I was doing. But this was the very first. So this first part of what I'm showing you are just a few early paintings to set the context for later on. This one's about 3 or 4 in. I started in April. This is about June. It was my very first face with a few sharp teeth and just a freedom to fill the page and let myself just try and play with colors. I had no idea how to paint a face other than the way children do it, but I let myself just find my way. I took a risk here. I thought, oh, painting a knife, it came to me, try this. And you can see down in the corner, there's little people, but I didn't know how to do people, but there's little, stick legs and someone lying on the ground, the recipient of my knife and all the blood. And so, but it felt like, oh, I can do anything. I mean, I can give myself permission, even though I have no skill, no training, I can let myself just paint. It was a amazing sense of freedom and scary at the same time. But even though I was scared, there was something compelling me to step out of my comfort zone, to take the risk. And afterwards, I thought, oh no, what's going to happen? But I felt like each time I took a risk, my body would open up, something would open. So it was not like, oh, you take a risk and, something bad's going to happen. It was like, ooh, I want more. What else is there? So I found that you could find dimensions in the painting. There was a little alien, I guess there was a spaceship in the top and little stairs going down, but that the alien could peek out from behind. And it was showing me, oh, there's front, there's back. It's not flat. Things can come alive, they can come over. So it was a very exciting discovery. When I was getting ready, knowing I was coming to Spirit Rock, I thought, well, what should I do this year? I've done different shows in a few years back. And I thought, let me just go back to the beginning. And I went and took a stack of the early, early years of painting. And I just kept looking at them, laughing and giggling. And I thought, this is so different than when I painted them. I was crying. I was like judging and miserable and feeling like, what am I doing? Where is this going? I have no talent. How could I even begin? How could I keep going? But inside of me, it felt like this is the only way. If I stop, then I'm still that person that couldn't do it. And if I keep moving through this, the potential is always there. So I kept at it and tried a little bit, a little alleyway scene, and I found little creatures peeking out of the garbage can and coming up over the truck and a little person in the front and just lots of garbage. And it's like, wow, you can do this too. And then, of course, there's the snakes that come in and the water creatures and bars like a prison and a dragon coming in. And You know, it took a long time before I could see these paintings with an appreciative eye. But the paintings never changed. They were the same paintings that I was judging and upset about and feeling like, oh, come on, this is going nowhere. And all that changed over the years was the way I began to see things. And I felt like the space was held. I painted in a weekly class once a week. My teacher was holding the space so that we could all just find our way. It was a very spacious experience to be allowed to be in community, finding your own way, not given a, today we're all painting this, but each person going towards the colors that draw you, going towards that, whatever images are waking up inside of you. I think this must have been a Halloween picture my first year, and just realizing that faces could be strange shapes and I could exaggerate. Things didn't have to be so symmetrical. I could decorate. So this is a few months into the process already. I guess I started in April. This is October. And you can see it's all very simple. It's not really a lot going on here. And this is maybe towards the end of the year, beginning of the next year, and I'm learning a little bit more about the finishing, staying with it a little bit more, and it's starting to feel like, oh, I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable with bodies and painting them and allowing them to come out. Again, no technical knowledge, just allowing the fluidity of the contact to teach me. I had just given birth at the time, and so I was learning how, I was like, okay, this is happening in my life, I need to paint this, so I let myself paint this. Looks like I was sitting on the cat, but you never know. My husband at the time was a little worried, I think, but and there we are, the happy couple with the little baby. I don't know if you can see her, she's somehow in there. But it was all just very like, this is what's happening. This is what I need to paint. I need to use the life I've been given. It's, you know, it's what I can do. It's what I'm feeling. It's what I'm preoccupied with. So I let myself paint it. This is already a little bit along the way, maybe 2 years in. And I found that I just loved painting eyes and that I could do it as much as I want. And they could go up in the sky, and they could go everywhere they wanted. And when I first pulled this painting out, I thought, what would be the sense of you showing this painting? There's nothing beautiful about it, but there was such an aliveness and a permission that I had then. I don't remember that I had it, but it was there. And it's fun to look back and go, wow, these seeds were already there from the very beginning. Even when we're discounting and pushing away, everything is already there. We just need to let ourselves access it. So it's again maybe 2.5 years into it, and I'm getting a little bit more comfortable with painting the bodies and painting our little family. That might have been my mother in the background. One of those days with your young child where you feel like your hair is gonna just, you're gonna explode, where life becomes overwhelming. But it felt like this is the life I have, this is what I can go towards, this is what I needed to paint. And again, it was just once a week that contact once a week felt like it was changing my life, felt like my process was making contact and that I could go on and be a mother, be a wife, have a life, and just from those 3 hours where I was not a mother and not a wife and not a teacher, I was just someone who could be a beginner, and that was all I needed to keep growing this process inside of myself. And I think this is 3 years or 4 years into it, where I painted myself. I started in the middle of the earth, very alone. This was the story at the time. And But then suddenly, the painting wasn't done. There was all this white space all around. And suddenly, I felt like all these little beings were outside me. They were there. And I began to think, how could I feel so alone? If I just look, there's everything. And there's this contact that seems to be starting from the middle of my forehead, moving up into the sky, making contact. And it just was a beautiful feeling that no matter how I started, the painting was taking me somewhere else that I could never have thought into existence. Another little family portrait years later. But also just to show that the deepening of the contact, the freedom of the bodies, they're forming more, there's a sense of more relaxation than from the beginning. And this is the last of this early years series. There's many, many paintings in between. I just pulled a few out of the many, many stacks, but there was something very beautiful about painting this little family and putting us on the earth, which happened to have a lot of bones and snakes on it, but also then to see the outer, to see the contact and the life that was above us too. So there was below, there was above, and to realize we were all connected. And to, I just loved painting these cords that were just connecting us everywhere and connecting us out into the cosmos. So the next painting I'm going to show is actually from just 2 years ago. So I'm making this huge jump. There were many paintings in between. A lot happened in there. And I just felt like I started this next painting, and inside of me it knew it had to start with red, and I put it in the middle of the paper. I had no idea what I was going to paint. And suddenly this red face appeared. And it was almost like it was guiding me when I painted her. It was like every stroke, everything was so clear. Do this, do this. And then when her face was done, I was a little stuck. I wasn't quite sure what to do. So I just kind of stayed and did a lot of detail on her face, just waiting. There was a white piece of paper, which obviously you can't see right now, but it was white all around her, but I couldn't rush to know the rest. I had to really stay there until the rest was ready to show me. And then slowly one flower came in, and in my heart it just went, wow. And the joy of the flower that was being invented, and there's took off, and one after another, each flower just felt like this was the most delicious thing I could be making contact with. And the rest of her body came in. And I felt, actually, probably when I was putting it all together, I felt like she was the great mother. And the sunflowers in the top corner, I just was like, oh, every part of this painting was just lovely. But I didn't plan it. I didn't anticipate it. It was just one step at a time. And I couldn't go faster than I could go. So there's one more painting from this series, and this painting also was a little bit after that, the one before, and the colors aren't as vivid there as they are on the screen, but again, she just told me what to do. It was like so clear, and I have a close-up because when I painted these eyes, I had never painted eyes like this before. I felt like these eyes were closed, but they could see everything. And it was like it just took my breath away that they could be closed and still see the whole of the universe. And it was like I was just in complete devotion as I was painting. And again, it was one of those paintings that I could not go faster than what was right in front of me. So there were gaps where I had to just do detail while my whole being was waiting to catch up. And it was a really important thing to know, because sometimes we're uncomfortable with the white paper. We want to know what's happening. We want to push it. And in a way, to slow down in those moments and wait until the whole of life finds you. Wait till I arrive in this very present moment. and from there see what's ready to come, even if it's just one dot, and that one dot leads to one more dot. And for the impatient one in me, it's like, come on, come on, but this one wasn't going to let me. So just to go back, she wasn't going to let me go faster, and then I was suddenly in the bottom there, and she was breathing life into my mouth, or I was somehow connected to her through, she was holding me very tenderly. So I had these two strong female paintings, and which is actually bringing me to this series that I wanted to show you. A year ago, my mother died. And painting is the way that I move through things. It gives me permission to be with the things that I just don't understand, like death and loss. These are terms, but painting is the only way I know that I can meet it. So I went right there after her, we buried her, and I just held her. I felt like I was holding her in my arms in this great sea of disappearance. And I let the tears flow, and it was such a powerful connection I could have. And this is the same painting. It started here and then moved here. And just to allow myself to have her in this sea of disappearance, and then suddenly the ancestors came in, it was like we were all being held. They were breathing life into her body. There were little spirits and souls all around rising up. And this whole river, a river of blood and tears, it just was a way to stay in contact. I knew no other way. I was teaching at the time. I was allowing myself to feel, but I needed the intimacy with myself to move through this place. And here I am holding her again, and I felt like all around us there was this disappearance going on, these little balls of disappearance that were just everywhere. They were holding her, they were holding me, they were holding everything. And the tears could just flow in the painting. Another one where I'm holding her. And more of the ancestors came and were just giving their support and breathing, just this breath of life coming in and just feeling like I was well held in this place. I was not alone, and I had to allow the feeling to be there. So I had been painting these paintings. Might have been a few in between. I pulled these out. But at some point, I felt like I was starting to, the feelings were more complex than I knew what to do with. I felt like suddenly that this wasn't enough, just painting me crying wasn't enough. I had to find another way to be with the feelings. So I went towards my famous scribbles, which are ways where I relax, where not relax, but I get energy out, where I just stop painting paintings for a while. And I kept doing these scribbles to see if they would loosen up whatever it was that was jammed. But at this time, this was February of this year, at this time I felt like I needed help. Like I couldn't do this on my own. It just felt like I knew all the questions, I knew the tools, I had a community to support me, but I needed something more. And I just began to pray for help. And 2 days later, the teacher that I started with, Michelle Cassou, sent out an email that she just added a workshop the next week, which I just happened to be free and have off from work. And so I decided I needed to work with my teacher again. It was a little humbling because I didn't want to show up in a state of being lost. I wanted to show up after all these years, 35 years, I have it together. But I realized with the depth of the feeling. I didn't have it together. I didn't know how to be with it any more than what I was doing. And it was a beautiful thing inside of me to know I could ask for help. So I went to her. It was a 5-day workshop, which gave me the time to just be together with myself, with her, holding the space and asking the questions that I needed to hear for me to dive in. And so there was me in the middle, Mary came in on the side, but all these beings of pain started to come in all around me. And I realized I did not want to feel pain. I just was tired of it. I didn't want to feel it, but this was what was needed. And I couldn't do that on my own. So with her support, and I would say, when is it going to end? She says, when it's done. So I was allowing myself just to go with the pain, to let it be these, what I call demonic figures. I don't really think they are. I think they're teaching me that all this pain has got to be released from my energy system. So the more I painted it, the more I could make contact with it and allow it to move in my system. And so again, this is a lot of just letting these energies move out of my body in all directions. You can't even see my body anymore, but it doesn't really matter. It just felt like my body was there, the pain was moving out. It needed to have room to just be allowed to release out of this body. And at this point, it just felt like I was one big scream, one big scream of, ah, I don't understand life or death or pain or release, but I could still keep painting. I just had to not look at it like painting. I had to look at it as a release of intense energies that were just jammed in the system. It felt so good to paint. I felt like I couldn't stop. And it was actually, it's like, yes, we still have a few more days. I get to go on. So at this point, suddenly the pain started to become this beautiful movement that was happening inside my body and outside my body. It was everywhere, but I wasn't resisting it. Inside of me, it was open to it. I stopped thinking, enough already, be done with it, something's wrong with it. I just found myself opening and letting it just surround me, and I actually felt like it was holding me. That the pain was actually the teacher I needed in that moment. We don't get to choose the teachers we get. It's like, this is the one that I needed, this is the one that was starting to move out of me, that I was allowing to make contact with. And it led to this painting where I just felt like I was in absolute bliss, like the body color was the color of the pain, but it didn't feel like pain anymore. It felt like the pain was me, I was the pain. It was allowed to be, it was moving everywhere, and the light came in, and the light was touching all these places. They were doing a dance together. They were all interwoven. It was such a beautiful contact to realize that what I was resisting the most was really the greatest healing I could ever have. And then right after that, or it might have been a few paintings in between, I started to paint this body of mine, and I have a close-up where it felt like suddenly I realized this whole body is not solid. It's decomposing. It's breaking down. It's impermanent. And I began to let myself just paint it with all these balls of disappearance in it and just feeling like there's nothing I could hold on to. And maybe that's part of the gift of my mother's death, is a release into seeing that I'm impermanent too. You know, it's not just my mom or my brother or other people that have died. There's an impermanence inside, and just allowing myself to have this and to see these great balls coming on the side. And then slowly, in the same painting, it just felt like the fire of life and the stream of water with a million tears coming out of my eyes. Just, and then the ancestors were in the corner and they were there crying with us. And it just felt like this was the release that was needed for more of this feeling inside. And I'm not sure if there's... I think there's one more in this series. Inside of me, I felt like I could finally be held, and all the tears that were needed were being held inside the heart of grief. Like I was painting the heart of grief. And the heart of grief didn't have a beginning, middle, or end. It didn't say enough tears. It didn't say stop. And there was such a beautiful feeling of permission to know that whatever, as much as I needed, was now being accepted, that it could be held. It was one of the most freeing moments of this period, just to be completely held in the heart of grief. And then the next painting awaits. I will do that. I just need a moment. Yeah. So it doesn't stop. We have these profound contacts, or we have contacts that we discount, but the next painting is always waiting, and the next movement is there. I'm not over the stage. It's only been almost a year, but it feels like creativity has always shown me that there is a way you can be with whatever is coming. Hey, Carrie. Whatever's there, whatever's coming inside, that it's the gift that's been given to us, whether it's through the written word, through movement and dance, but for me it just happened to be painting, that anything that was unknowable, unseeable, unexplainable could take its own form through painting. There was no one that could tell me it couldn't look like this, that impermanence couldn't look like this, that the heart of grief shouldn't look like that. They were the colors I needed, and each person has their own unique way in, their own way to be there. And these voices of old teachers, old lovers, old systems that told us it has to be different or you have to fit. Well, I wasn't one that was trained to fit that way, and I never fit, but it felt like I was given space to find my way. And that's what we're doing downstairs, and it's already happening in everyone's painting, even if we don't know it. I didn't know it the first few paintings. I didn't know that there was a beautiful, solid contact because the judgments were ruling me. They were guiding me. They were telling me everything, and I believed them. But I also believed something in me that wouldn't let me quit. I started, and I never, ever stopped. Because any time, even if it's a week or 2 weeks that I don't paint, I start to feel like, oh, there's something inside that wants to be met, an intimate conversation that wants to be had. And this is my way to have it, but it's also my way when I'm teaching. It's like the creative way is to stand there with two people not knowing together and see what arises in the conversation. Or I'm in conversation with myself, the white paper, the next movement, not knowing where it's going to go. It's an amazing gift that creativity gives to each one of us, even when I push it away, even when I feel like I'm going with the brakes on. It doesn't mean that there isn't contact, that it isn't transformative work, that it isn't changing your whole life just by that one dot or by breaking the habit of not covering, of covering or getting rid of or stopping when you want to stop by stretching, the power of stretching, which means you have to go beyond what you think you're capable of to enter into the passion of your wild being. That's the invitation over and over and over again, to touch that place. So thank you. And if there are any questions, we have time. Yes.
About what size were those?
26 by 20, I think. And all of them were pretty much one piece. Sometimes I'll add and go really large, but never smaller. But about that big. It's actually part of the studio walls, and the studio is all, this is all the runoff from the paints. This is what happens when we paint, and we just get to go off the paper, and so people have offered us a lot of money for the walls. But this is what happens when you just get to have the runoff.
It's a square piece of paper.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
It's a square?
No, it's rectangular, 26 by 20, I think. It looks square just by pulling on this to make it fit the space, but it is 26 by 20, a little bit taller one way or wider. Yes?
Did you have meditation before you did your painting? Did you feel, I know you mentioned several times the ancestors. Well, I had that actual experience of that before my mother died. My mother died this week. It will be 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So... I'm sorry, really sorry for your loss. But I actually could envision them, and I even called to her from the living room. She was in her bedroom and said, Mom, they're here.
Yes.
They're waiting for you.
Yes.
So the clarity of that vision.
Yes.
I didn't know who they were, but I knew they were there.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if you, since you showed so much of that, that's fascinating, that you have almost like the communion of saints.
Yes.
And the ancestors holding you.
So yes.
Did that come to you just as you were...
Just as I paint. Everything that you're seeing is coming as I paint. The painting is my meditation. It's my way of going in and diving in. The thing is that it's powerful in the painting also is that it's staring at you. So I could think I'm beyond judgment, but I'm watching myself judge, or I'm feeling this, oh gosh, I don't want to, but it's waiting for me. So there's no moving away from it. So this is actually a very powerful meditation where you're just really there meeting what's happening.
And at one point you mentioned that you felt the painting itself was speaking to you to draw.
Yes, that the painting was giving me
the instructions.
Yes, it was like I could hear it so clear. Use the red,
right?
And I don't usually hear that, but with those two paintings I put in there, it was. So I somehow felt like they needed to show up here. But sometimes that happens, where there's this place where it's just so clear. But generally when I'm painting, the next painting is leading from the one before.
Mm, yeah.
So even though I don't know where it's going, it's generally connected somehow. Like I'm painting, you know, in this series, I didn't set out to paint the series, it's just life was, that was what was happening. And so each painting led into the next. But sometimes they feel very disjointed, or sometimes I'll be scribbling a lot in between. I picked a few out, and I don't show all the scribbles, but a lot of times that's my way to just loosen anything that's jammed. Any thoughts I have or thinking I should be doing this or not doing that, the scribble releases it all. Yes?
I want to thank you so much for this. I'm the one
Yes.
whose mother died 6 months ago.
Yes.
And just even though writing is such a different medium, I was thinking I could, you know, I mean, I have anger and fear and all
Yes.
the stages of grief, but I could use words and make a painting. I could draw them all over the page.
Yes, you can.
Because to me, I mean, I think that writing has to be linear. Painting's not linear.
Yeah.
And especially your painting of impermanence. I mean, I think I really believe that my mother would live forever.
Yes.
She was,
yes,
she
a presence.
Such might.
Yes.
And strength.
Yes.
And what I'm feeling on this retreat is fear around my own impermanence.
Yes.
And just the way you portrayed it. And I'm sure there's a way to portray it. Writing too, or
yes.
music. I mean, I could count on the piano.
Yes.
But yeah, so thank you. It was very inspirational.
Good. Yes, Eleanor.
I just want to say, Barbara. remember that nobody brings the house down like you. Really.
Nobody brings the house down.
No one does. No one speaks from the heart of vulnerability and depth and exquisite wisdom like you do. I mean, you know, the last time you presented, the whole room was agog, you know, and it didn't print. And we thought, well, it was a transmission. I thought, well, she can't beat that one. And, I paint with Barbara a couple times a week, and I just want to say how mighty you are and how privileged we are to be held by a truly great woman and teacher. So, and I hate my painting.
I talked to Eleanor, yes, I think it was last night, if she only took all the appreciation she feels and holds for the world and for each painter in the room and could share it with herself. Because in a way, the ability to appreciate, sometimes it's very easy to put it out there, but not to see that the root of it's already inside of you. And to really honor it's already in there, and to see that your painting is a reflection of that too, even when we can't see it. Oh, yes.
I know in the workshop, you were talking a little bit about some of the ways that you work with figuring out if a painting is finished or not.
Yes.
I was wondering if you could talk about that a little more, and particularly in relationship to some of these paintings that you showed us.
So we're talking about how do you know when the painting is finished? Well, and we talked about that it's usually not when you hate it or love it or don't know what to do. And so when I'm painting, I really never know when I'm done. And so each time I'm done, I go a little further. That's what I call stretching. I let myself go beyond, and then I'm done again. And then I let myself keep moving. And you see, if you're looking at them visually, they're full. People say to me, can't you paint simpler? And I was like, if I had a simpler inner world, maybe they would come out simple, you know, one stroke. But inside of me, it's not simple. It's complex. And painting allowed for my complexity. It allowed for the richness of this inner world because I didn't care. It's not that I don't care what it looks like, but I'm in relation, so I love what it looks like. Even if I'm scribbling, I love the look because it's in relation to me. It's pouring through me. It's not mine. These are not my paintings or my words or my... It's what moves through when we get out of the way. So your own experience of moving with that red line kept breaking the, I'm done, I'm done, I'm done. That's our tendency. Don't be too much. But the encouragement is, what if you were too much? What if you went too far? What if you wrote what you wouldn't dare write? You know, what would those words sound like? What would that painting look like if you went too far?
Barbara, when you're doing a painting and then you step away from it, say you're going to come back to it the next day, mm-hmm. Are you thinking about the painting?
Sometimes I am, only because I'm thinking about this whole year has been thinking about my mom and loss and life and, you know.
But you're not thinking about how you're going to put it on
the page. Oh, of course I do. I think, what's next, what's going to happen? But when I get there, all of that drops away.
Okay.
Of course, I have a million thoughts. I have a million judgments. Sometimes I try to avoid it, but it's sitting there waiting for me.
Yeah, I'm just going crazy. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I like to draw eyes. I could draw eyes.
Yes. Right, I'll take five of those and not that.
I think I better practice, yeah.
I know, but then we decide, well, I'll never do that. And I you know, usually things I say I'm not going to do want to come in. Because the integrated self wants to know everything can pass through it. Not just what I prefer or like. So it's like opening to all possibility, not because it's about Barbara, but because it's about humanity. So really, this looks like a personal grief, but it feels like the grief of humanity. I mean, so many people this week I've heard say lost their mothers this year, this week, this time. And I feel like we're all, in our humanness, vulnerable. And so that's what's wanting to be painted, is the vulnerability. And it's a much more exciting question in conversation than whether I like it or don't like it. Yeah. Mary. Okay. She's not comparing, she announced.
Your painting seems so connected, and you use that word multiple times, and it feels like it's just spreading out in one piece. When I go to the dark side or go to the blue side, I take a black line and chop mine out, and it doesn't look rational or connected.
Because we think connected only has one look to it. And it's maybe what you see here. We don't realize that connected could be a lightning bolt or chopped up or cracks, you know? The connection is to you. If it's all I can do is a little black line that doesn't seem to make sense or come from anywhere, that's the connection. The connection is not to my mind making sense, but to the opening of all possibility, to all potential. That's what we're connecting to, potential. Whether you see it or not, it's there. Okay.
How long did these take you?
Well, the series with the pain was all during a 5-day workshop, so I was on them 6, 7, 8 hours a day. Some of them, you know, depending on how much time I have to paint, could be a few hours. The scribbles are quick. The others can take days. You know, sometimes I'm on a painting longer than that, but mostly not unless I haven't had time to get to it.
And the details, are they painful?
Well, that's the thing. When they're needed, they are actually a restorative action because there's not an efforting. I'm not making myself do tiny things. There's not a forcing. There's actually, it feels so good that each dot, every line is unique. It's not like, oh, now I know, or now I'm doing a pattern. It's like staying awake and alert to the moment so that it's not a chore or an endurance thing. It's actually grace. And when you touch that, you just go, yes, you know, you want a million dots? I'll give it. It becomes a devotional practice where it's not about what are you going to give me or whether I like it. It's what am I going to give to this so that my heart and surrender can happen. Carol.
Barbara, you keep talking about how you have these stacked up in your book.
Yes.
And I wonder, do you have any displayed in your house?
You know, the two ladies, they're right now in my home. And then the few very early ones are there. Right. Yeah.
So how do you choose to bring something out in the world that's very private?
Well, I'm telling you, Spirit Rock is my practice. These don't go out in the world at all except here. On my 60th birthday, when we talked about a Dharma talk, I pulled out a bunch of paintings, and that was the first time I had ever done it after 30 years of painting. And I said, well, you're 60, what are you going to wait for, you know? You know, until you're gone and everybody else gets to look at them. So I don't have it down. This is very shy, very private, very, you know, this is the first time I'm even talking about these paintings. So the words are a little raw right now, but it felt like this was what trying to do another series wasn't going to be an integrity in this retreat for me because I am moving through this space. So it felt like I need to bring these, but I didn't know if it would work or not for myself. So how do I do it? I'm making it up. You know, it's like you stand there like you do with the white piece of paper and you see what comes, you open your mouth, you see what comes, you start writing words, you see what comes, and you stay connected to the energy in you. Am I getting dull, bored? How do I wake it up? How do I take a risk?
Are you familiar with the Red Book of Carl Jung?
You know, I know it exists. I don't think I've ever really looked at it. She asked if I'm familiar with the Red Book. I know it exists, but I haven't really looked at it.
Well, it's been, I don't know, 50, 60 years, something like that. And the family has just agreed, well, not just, they did agree several years ago to have it published. Mm-hmm. So it is published. And there is a reader that goes with it, but he didn't want it to be published. Mm-hmm. It was his private reflections.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm just wondering, would you ever consider putting your work into book form?
Well, you'll see on the table when there's books out there that I put from one of the Spirit Rock talks, I put a book together just to show it to my mother. She looked at it in the middle of the night. She comes walking up and she goes, "Who are you?" I was like, I couldn't tell you who I am, but it was the sweetest connection shortly before she had died, and it was like I had never shown her a painting. So she knew that I did something, and she thought it was just splish splash. But I didn't have the words or the language, but I handed her this book one day, and it was, I'm so glad I did, you know.
No, back here.
Oh, yes. 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 Exactly. Everything. Yeah, nothing excluded. Yes. 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 Totally.
I love it.
Great. Good. Yes. Yes. But here's the thing. Given the permission that all is included, all of you is invited here, we still have habits in place that are excluding, and I don't even know that that's going on. So when I'm painting, it's actually, okay, what am I going to discover here? I never feel like I've done it all, I've discovered it all. It's like, okay, what's next? And what am I not seeing through my blind spots? So that's where I needed to get help. And sometimes it's a beautiful thing to have that outside support that holds us when everything wants to be in habit, which is get out of here, run, judge, cover up, escape. And that's a lot of learned things that we operate with. So yes, it's inclusion of everything. That's the most beautiful invitation we're given from life. Include yourself in life. But we need support sometimes when we get stuck, when we feel like we don't have it, or I'm too tired or bored. Because often, even in tiredness and boredom, energy is waiting to be tapped into. So every state, we can show up and be met by creativity. Yes, it does reveal the places you're bumping up against. Anything else?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay, you're painting. And something presents itself that you're not excited to see. And you don't want to cover it up. You don't
want
to...
Well, you might want to.
Yeah, but you don't. So what do?
You let it be and you feel what you feel. You feel how uncomfortable you are. You feel how the tendency is to want to run away, fix it, make it better, make it pleasing, balance it, all these trained, learned things. But the bold move is to be with the feeling. Wow, look how much hatred is happening for me with this little image, this sweet little image that's born out of innocence, that's born out of just allowing myself to let it move out of me. And then along comes a great big foot stomping it, believing that it's ugly or doesn't fit or makes sense. So the invitation is not to do that. Feel uncomfortable and see how to keep moving. It's a bold invitation. It was the same that you had to not go with the familiar watercolors for a few days and stay with these colors that were disturbing to you, too bold, too strong, too anything, but then find out what it's like. To be a beginner over and over and over, even if we have a lot of training. The ones with the training have to let go of that to find that place inside themselves. Because often the training doesn't belong to them. What belongs to you, you never have to let go of. But what's been learned that doesn't belong to you, it could be in the way of your freedom. Your life or a piece of paper. That's always the invitation. Which are you making the priority at every moment?
So after you sit with it and come to, then...
She wants a technique. What do you do?
Do you allow it to shift? And I imagine the shift that happens in you will then take place on...
No, I don't wait for the shift. I never wait. I say it's a not acting sometimes. For me, it was always I moved too fast, so I had to slow down. But for people that are often pausing and standing back and evaluating and wondering and looking up on Google for some advice and, you know, ask Siri, what do you do? For them, I actually recommend moving quicker because in that quickness, you can't control. The controller is so strong that wants things that feel familiar, and yet the heart wants to step out of that. Our heart connection is longing to be set free, but we have habits. So there's no technique that I could say do this. This is actually what we're doing when we're invoking those sweet little worms coming up through the clay. And you're going, I'm done. I'm like, what if there was another one? And it's like allowing the repetition till something in you stops fighting it. So worms, snakes, they're great teachers because they don't listen to us. They have their own wiggles, their own rules. They wrap around things. So they're great teachers in this process. As are monsters and creatures, as is flowing things, as are dots. I mean, everything is a great teacher. Anything else? Everything's been answered. Or hopefully stirred up and more questions will arise. Thank you all for your kind attention.